We're all familiar with the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, where Jack is supposed to take the cow and sell it so that the family can have food. But instead, he is tricked. He's bamboozled because he's gullible, and he falls for the story of these magic beans. And so he trades the cow for those magic beans. His mother, of course, is furious at the foolishness that he has shown. And so she takes those and throws them out. Of course, we know what happened. The next morning, Jack wakes up and there's a huge beanstalk that reaches up to the clouds. And he climbs it and he finds the giant's house, and he becomes a thief and later a killer. And all those things. And the family gets rich. I don't want us to imitate that part of Jack's life. But I do want us to think about that first part, where he traded that cow, which was all that his family had, for some magic seeds. Because I'm going to challenge you to do the same thing today. There are some magic seeds, or we could say miraculous seeds, that do some miraculous things. We want to talk about Jesus and his miraculous magic seeds. Everyone that meets Jesus has a different reaction to him. The disciples give up everything to follow him, because they believe what he's saying. They believe it's true. They believe his words are powerful, even magic words, miraculous words. Everyone else thinks that the disciples and Jesus are foolish, or, as his family said, out of his mind. They thought he was crazy, certifiable, lock him up. In fact, that's what they came to do. The seeds cost too much. There's no guarantee. Nobody's ever seen this seed produce anything before. And Jesus is telling everybody, you need to listen to what I'm saying. But they are powerful seeds. Their power exceeds anything you've ever seen. If you plant them in the right soil, they'll change the world. Even though they seem tiny, they're going to become the greatest thing on earth. So Jesus is selling his magic seeds. You see, one of the problems that is happening is that people are wondering, why is Jesus so ineffective at making disciples? I mean, yeah, there are crowds coming to see the miracles that he does, and people who are sick and their friends are bringing those who are sick to come see him to be healed. But when it comes to the teaching that he's doing, oh, they're like, oh yeah, nobody ever taught like this. But then they just go away. They don't take it to heart. They don't take it in and live by it. They listen to it and, wow, that's interesting, that's amazing, and then they go on back to their normal lives. Why is Jesus, if he really has this seed that's so powerful that it's magical and miraculous, if he has this seed, why is he not making more disciples? Why aren't more people listening to what he says? You know, we often judge, and wrongly so many times, we judge the truth of something by how many people believe it. And that's what they were doing to Jesus. They were judging the truth of his message based on how many people believed it and were living by it. And there weren't a lot of people living by it. The crowds, they wanted those miracles, but they weren't really interested in changing their lives to meet his teachings. The religious leaders think he's a blasphemer, that he's someone who's playing fast and loose with God's word. They think he's a man who's demon-possessed, or at least they say that. Whether they really believe that or not could be debated. They've already set their sights on killing him by the end of chapter 2. Even his own family thinks he's crazy. There are only a few who are really listening to the message of Jesus, to listen to what he says about the kingdom of God and about what it's going to be like. But his listeners aren't the people you'd expect. They're not the theologians. They're not the highly religiously educated people. Instead, they're fishermen and tax collectors and sinners that are listening and changing their lives. And you have to think that even they are wondering, when's all this really going to happen? What's really going on here? Is this really for real? Have I made a big mistake by leaving my fishing business behind to follow this guy? Is what he's promised really going to come true? We're faced with those same kinds of questions today. Jesus made promises for us, and sometimes those doubts creep in and we wonder, is it for real? Well, Mark chapter 4 is when Jesus gives his commentary on what's been happening for these first few chapters. And he paints the picture with the parable of the sower. We touched on it briefly last week to see that that is how these different people were reacting to him, just like these different soils. Why doesn't everyone respond to Jesus the way he wants them to? Well, why can't he make them listen? Why won't they understand? Jesus explains with three parables. The first of these is the parable of the sower. It's a warning. Warning people that your task is to be good soil. Listen and learn and let that seed sink into your heart. Be the kind of soil that will help it grow. The last two parables are a promise from Jesus. Yes, the seed is miraculous. Yes, it is powerful. It's dynamite. It's God-breathed. It came from God. It's not just man's teachings, man's words. It's a powerful seed. The parables of chapter 4 are not just, Mark just picked some stories that Jesus told. He puts them there together for a reason. These particular parables follow the point that Mark is trying to get us to see about who Jesus is. Truly is. And so Jesus explains these things to us. We need to be good listeners. We need to pay attention to what's being said. He even closes out this first parable in just that way. Whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. Listen to what he has to say. You know, people hear what they want to hear. Riding in the car yesterday with my three youngest girls, and they were telling a story. You ever do that where, you know, somebody tells part of the story, and then somebody else tells the next part, and then somebody else tells the next part, and you have to keep adding to the story? Well, they were playing that game. And so they started out telling the story. And their rule was that when you said, but then, You had to stop and the next person took over telling the story. The only problem was that when it was their turn to talk, they would try to say "and then" or "but then" five times before they wanted it to be their turn to stop. And when I'd call them on it, I'd say, "Wait a minute, you said it. You said that three times." "I did not." "Yeah, you did." But they didn't hear it. They heard what they wanted to hear. And we're that way a lot, aren't we? We hear what we want to hear. We've got to be careful of that. Mark chapter 4 and verses 1 through 12. Jesus tells this parable of the sower. He tells how this sower goes out and he's sowing the seed. And as he sows that seed, some of that seed is going to fall on four different kinds of soil. Some's going to fall right there on the path where the ground has been trampled so hard that there's nowhere for the seed to even get down into the dirt. And the birds, of course, are going to come and take that away. Some of that seed is going to fall on the rocky ground and it's going to spring up and then it's going to die away. And some of that seed is going to fall on the thorny ground and it's going to grow for a while, but all of the thorns that are growing there are going to kind of choke it out so that it can't really do what it needs to do. And then, of course, some will fall on the good ground. And that will produce seed for the next time. It's going to reproduce. More than just, you know, you plant one seed, you don't get one seed in return. That wouldn't work very well, would it? But no, when you plant one seed, you get a lot in return. Hundreds of seeds in return. Sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold, he says. You see, these are the different kinds of people, the different types of soils of their hearts, the different kinds of hearers who are out there hearing what he says, but they hear what they want to hear. Some are hard-hearted, and the seed never gets a purchase there. It never can get in. Some are shallow-hearted, and the roots can't grow deep. They'll let it grow on the surface, but they won't really let the word, the seed, get in there and actually change them. Some are kind of a mixed heart. They've got too many concerns. Their heart is going in too many different directions. And all of those other worries and concerns won't allow the word to have enough soil and enough nutrients to really grow. Because that's really the problem with thorny soil, isn't it? It's not necessarily that the soil is all bad by itself, but it just has too many things growing in it, taking up the nutrients. If we allow too many things into our heart, they'll suck away all the nutrients and the Word of God won't be able to grow in our hearts. And then there are a few who are good-hearted. Now we need to understand, even though he tells four different kinds, that doesn't mean that 25% of the people are the first one and 25% are the second and 25% the third. It's not an even split. On some occasions we may find it's only 1 out of 100 that's good soil. Other times we may find it's 8 out of 10 that were good soil in a certain circumstance. It's our job not to judge that, just to help Jesus spread his seed. But Jesus says, don't be surprised by this. The soil, not the seed, is the limiting factor. And we know that's true, don't we? You can take the same seed and plant it in different soils, and some places it'll grow and some places it won't. Bad soil makes the seed unfruitful. Good soil will always bear a crop. Jesus says when the seed doesn't seem to bear fruit, it's not because there's anything wrong with the seed. It's because there's something wrong with the soil. So Jesus does two things with this parable. He's got a point to this. He's not just telling the story to tell a story. First, he wants to explain why there's apparently a lack of success. Why is he not able to get so many people to listen and believe? It's not because of him. He's not the problem. The seed that he's spreading, that's not the problem. It's the bad soil. That's the problem. And what's interesting I've seen over the years is that sometimes soil that at one point was bad soil can become good soil, can't it? Fertilizer can be added. Things like that can happen to it to make it good soil. Rocky soil, the rocks can be removed. When we were in Ireland, one of the things we saw was rock walls everywhere. They had removed the rocks from the fields and made walls around the field so that what was left in the field was good soil. Sometimes you got to remove the rocks. Sometimes the weeds need to be pulled, don't they? Sometimes the fertilizer needs to be added. Sometimes the soil just needs to be tilled. If it's like that hardened path soil, you till it up, aerate it a little bit and stir it up and loosen it up so it's not so packed, and it can become good soil sometimes. We also need to beware because sometimes what was good soil can become bad soil. It can become drained of its nutrients. That's what happened with the thorny soil. Other things can happen to it. It can be washed away by the waters, topsoil gone. So we need to remember that soils can change. So even if someone was not responsive to the gospel at one point in their life, that doesn't mean they never will be. And I've known of a lot of cases where someone, after years and years of rejecting the gospel, something changed in their heart and they became good soil. So we need to remember that. That's important. So Jesus explains that the bad soil in the world is the problem and not his seed. And then, of course, he exhorts his disciples to be good soil. Make sure you're listening carefully to the words that he's teaching. Make sure you're applying what you hear and living by it. You know, I've said it before and I'll probably say it again. The devil can quote the Bible. He knows it better probably than everybody else in here. But just knowing it doesn't do him a bit of good. And just knowing it won't do us a bit of good if we don't apply it in our lives. And this, of course, is made even clearer in the final verse of this section, where Jesus reminds, if you've got ears, you need to listen. Listen to what he has to say. So what kind of hearers are you? What kind of hearer are we going to be? In verses 11 and 12, Jesus is explaining his use of parables and why it's a good method to keep the crowds from understanding. And you say, wait a minute, why does Jesus want to keep them from understanding? Well, it's not really that he doesn't want people to understand, but the parables are a way of telling something in such a way that only those with good hearts will listen and hear. And the others, why, they just hear a neat story. And that's all they get out of it. Unfortunately, some of us may fall into that category. We've got to be careful. We've got to listen carefully. The misunderstanding that came from his teaching wasn't because of his teaching, but because of the way that people reacted to it. If we consider chapter 4, verses 21 through 25 of the book of Mark, let's look at that for just a moment. This is the parable of the lamp, which is goes along with, hand in hand, with what he's talking about with the parable of the sower. He said to them, a lamp isn't brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? It's placed on a lampstand. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nothing is concealed except to be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, listen. He better hear. Better listen to those things. And then he says in verse 24, take care about what you hear. The measure you use will be measured, the measure you receive, and more will be added to you. For whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now think about that in relation to that parable of the sower. The seed that landed on the path, there was seed there, but what was there was taken away by Satan. It was taken away by those birds that were Satan. So Jesus reminds us, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear. Careful what you're listening to. But then Jesus is going to turn his attention from talking to them about the soil to wanting to talk to them about the seed. It's not just about the listener. It's not just about us as the learner. What is the role of God's Word in this process? And again, if we could do it all on our own, we wouldn't need Him. But we can't. We're just the soil. Soil, no matter how good that soil is, can never grow anything unless something is planted in it. Without a seed, soil cannot grow anything. I'm amazed by aeroponics and hydroponics, especially aeroponics, where a seed grows without any soil. That's amazing stuff right there. And that's the kind of power. God's Word is so powerful. It's survived for thousands of years. And it will grow if it has the right conditions to grow. So what kind of hearers are we? Jesus came to be heard and understood. He wasn't trying to hide himself. He was the light that shines in the darkness to help people see. Then he talks about the measure you have. Think about how you hear. Think about how big your heart is. Think about how much you can take in, because that's what you're going to receive. The bigger your cup, the more you get. The bigger your bowl, the more you get. Jesus wants us to consider, the bigger our heart is, the more seed is going to be poured in there. And the more is going to grow out of that. If you have a garden, you know, you don't ever just plant one seed. Chances are, if you only plant one seed, you're not going to get anything. With a lot of plants, of course, you need multiple plants just so that they can cross-pollinate with each other. If you have one plant, we had one time, we planted some squash, and then We actually only had, out of all we planted, only two of the squash plants came up. We're really not very good gardeners. The two of them came up, but the problem was one of them would put on a bloom and then it'd die. Then the other one would put on a bloom and then it would die. And we never got a single squash because there was never the opportunity for those that bloom and it wouldn't get pollinated. And so we didn't get anything. We need to be sure that we're allowing God to plant a lot of seed in our hearts. That we have plenty of room for His seed to grow in our lives. But Jesus is talking not just about us, but about the power that's in the Word. The power of that seed. That magical, miraculous seed that He has. Just when we might begin to despair. Are you ever discouraged? You ever think, why isn't the church growing faster? Why aren't more people coming? I mean, we have this wonderful thing here. We have the hope of eternal life and we have salvation from sin. And why aren't people just beating down the doors to get hold of that? Don't despair. Don't give up. Oh, the seed is powerful. Yeah, there's a lot of bad soil out there, though. And the seed's not going to grow there. So we just have to keep spreading the seed. We have to throw it everywhere. You know, they obviously farmed and gardened a little differently than we do today. You know, when we go out to a farm, they plow, they get the rows, they plant the seeds in the row. I mean, they don't do like Jesus. He's just throwing seed everywhere. But we need to not farm with God's Word the way that modern farmers farm in the United States. We need to do it the way that God's people were taught to do it by Jesus back in that day. We throw the seed everywhere. We don't know where it's going to land. And sometimes it may land where we would have thought, oh, it'll never grow there, and it will grow there. I've seen that happen more than once. That someone who had been discounted, oh, that they wouldn't be interested. And that's the very one that comes to Christ. The one that others said, oh, they're not interested in that. I remember one time in particular when I was having a study in a little, it was an apartment complex and they had a little room there and we were having a little study and some people walking in and they saw and they said, oh, well, I said, we should invite them to sit in and join our Bible study. Oh, no, they're not interested in that. The people that were sitting there that said, they're not interested in that, I never made any impact with. I mean, they came and enjoyed the Bible studies, but they never acted on it. One of those people that they said, they're not interested. She came in, she started asking questions, I started talking, and she became a Christian. The one that they said she wouldn't be interested. It's not our job to be soil inspectors. It's our job to sow the seed. God's seed will do the work. The power lies in the magic seed that God has given us. We look down to the parable that He tells about the growing seed in verses 26 through 29. So the kingdom of God is like someone who spreads seed on the ground. Notice He didn't just plant it in a row. He just spread it on the ground. He goes to sleep and gets up night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and He doesn't know how. I mean, honestly, we've even got pictures of seeds grow. How does a seed grow? That's amazing. Just every seed. It's an amazing thing. And God's word is like that. We don't always know how it grows in people's lives. By itself, it produces a crop. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. And when the grain is ripe, he sends in the sickle because the harvest has come. This seed is powerful. It'll grow all by, you know, it does all the work. And it's amazing, isn't it? Tiny little oak seed, an acorn, grows a great mighty oak tree. But the power to do that is in that seed. All of the genetic material necessary to grow that plant, it's in that seed. And good things come in small packages. Jesus talks about the mustard seed. That's the smallest of the little herb seeds that was known in their area in that day. He said, it's the littlest one you plant in your gardens. But he says, when it is sown, it grows up and it becomes the largest of all the herbs, all the plants. It grows so large that the branches get big enough that the wild birds can nest in it and in its shade. But that didn't happen overnight. But it grew from a little bit of nothing, just a tiny little thing, it grew. Good things come in small packages. It's that way with God's kingdom, God's word. That seed is planted. And it started out small at first. And then it grew and it spread all over the world. And continued to grow and continued to plant more seed and reproduce more seed to grow year after year, generation after generation. All the way till now. You know, a seed sometimes looks so tiny and so fragile, so insignificant to be able to accomplish such a great task. But inside there is the germ of life. Inside there is the thing that's going to spark and make that grow. There are two dominant themes in this passage. Encouragement and exhortation. Promise and warning. Comfort and rebuke. These are the two concepts here. What Jesus wants from us is for us to be good listeners. What kind of heart do you have? Examine yourself. Look into your own heart. Are you good soil? Are you hard-hearted and won't listen? Are you concerned with too many different things so that the word is going to get choked out of your life? Are you shallow? You won't let the seed in deep? You see, God's word will change you drastically if you let it get inside. And honestly, some of us don't want to be changed drastically. We like things the way they are. We don't want it to be any different. And so we don't want to let God's word in because we don't want to have to be different than we are. We need to beware of that. Are you considering carefully how you hear and what you hear and what you're taking in? And then there's the encouragement, the reminder that the power is not in us. The power is in the Word. On one occasion when the Jewish people were talking to Jesus and saying, "Oh, but we're the children of Abraham." You remember what his response was? "God could raise children of Abraham up from these rocks right here. You're nothing special. The power is in the Word. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you haven't traded your cow for some magic seed, if you haven't given your life over to God's Word to let it control you and grow in your life, what are you waiting for? Oh, do you think the rest of us are foolish for doing such a thing? Take the plunge. Sell the cow. Get the magic seeds. Plant them in your life and see what grows out of it. I want to encourage you to do that today. Dig deeply into God's Word. Let it sink deeply into your heart. And let it change you. Don't just listen to it or memorize it, but actually apply it in your life so that it changes who you are. It's what the apostles did. And we consider them great men of faith because of that. It's what many of the early disciples did. And we talk about those great people of faith. People like Timothy and Lydia. And we talk about all of those different people and that oh wow, what they did. How'd they do that? It wasn't because they were greater, more wonderful people than the people today. It was because they let the Word of God grow in their lives. If you need to respond to God's invitation today to purchase that, it's worth any cost. Do that today as together we stand and sing.